Coming up on 740 at DWS, Dave Gentry, Elizabeth Hess, Champaign Police Chief Anthony Cobb joins us this morning. Chief, how are you?
Wonderful. How are you, sir?
Real good. Glad to have you with us this morning.
Good morning. Chief Cobb. Recently, you've shuffled the veteran employees among the ranks of administrators. You've moved around Lieutenant Nate Rath and Lieutenant Dave Schaefer and, of course, Troy Daniels. Tell us a little bit about the restructuring.
We restructured on November 27th of 2017. The biggest reason was succession planning. We had an opportunity to promote Lieutenant Dave Schaefer to Deputy Chief Dave Schaefer. And with that promotion, gave us opportunity to move some of our senior command around so they have the opportunity to see new areas within the department. Deputy Chief Troy Daniels, who's been a long stay Deputy Chief for the Champaign Police Department and Investigations, had the opportunity to move to patrol, and now he's overseeing the uniform section. That's something he hadn't done in about 15 years. Deputy Chief Joe Gallo, he moved from patrol to our administration, overseeing records, professional standards, alcohol, training. So that's a great opportunity for him. And then Dave Schaefer naturally fell right into the investigation position, being a previous lieutenant in charge of investigations.
Pretty smooth move for everybody, or just some learning curves?
Some learning curves. Like I said, we've had some hiccups along the way. Nothing serious, I'd like to say, but we had a good time making through the transition. We're still working our way through some of the hiccups, but all in all, it's gone extremely well.
Let's talk about the fact that manpower and, you're limited by budgets, but you seem to do a good job increasing patrol in places where there have been shootings this year and things like that. How do you shuffle around and how do you decide what neighborhoods you patrol and that you watch over?
We generally try to just follow the data. We look at where the crime has been reported at. We're looking at where the problem's at, and we try to put resources where problems at. That's why it's very important for our citizens to keep us informed what's going on. For example, if there's a burglary happening in your neighborhood and you may have left your car door unlocked and you end up losing a bunch of change, we want to hear about it. Please take the time to report it to us. You can do so online. You can do so in person by calling them and have an officer come out and respond to your scene. But we want that information because that gives us data. Yours may have been one of isolated event, but it may have been 15 other isolated events in that neighborhood. Now it's no longer isolated. It's a crime spree, and we would like to know that so we get resources there.
You recently had a couple of shootings in Champaign, and you have warrants out. You know who you're looking for. What's the best way that the public can do to help you find these individuals?
Yeah, we ask our public to stay aware what's going on around them in their community. Like I said, with the shooting we've had on Sunset, we did identify a suspect. There is a warrant issued for his arrest. We're asking the public to just be familiar with the face. If they see that individual, please give us a call. You can call Crime Stoppers. You want to be anonymous, but we need the information. We need the help. We would like to apprehend this person and hold him accountable for the choices that he made.
And burglaries are down as of last November, 27% in Champaign. But vehicle burglaries, they're preventable. This is a crime of opportunity. So can you give us a reminder of ways to keep our possessions and ourselves safe?
Yes. We'll tell people all the time, lock your car doors. Recognize you don't want to leave valuables out where people can see it. So you want to hide things inside your vehicle. So if you got a purse or a laptop, if you can put it in the trunk, that would be the best place to put it. So it's out of sight, it's locked away. But if your trunk happened to be full of stuff and you can't get it in there, put it under a seat, put it under the floor mats, put it out of view so people can't see it. It's a big help. It's a little bit of a deterrent, but always lock your doors. A lot of times we don't think about that. We think, all right, it's such a great community, relatively very safe community as well. But at the same token, crime does happen in our community. We're not a crime-free community. And so locking doors is the biggest deterrent to keep your property.
Do these crimes like this, like breaking into cars, things like that, do those usually turn out to be kids or
a lot of times it does turn out to be young people, crime opportunities. Sometimes maybe some older people who are down on their luck and they see the opportunity to grab a purse, maybe some money in there, might be a credit card in there, might be something in there that can help me to meet whatever short-term need I may have. We would like to eliminate those opportunities. When we look at the burglaries, the vast, vast, vast majority of unlocked vehicles, we don't see people getting their windows smashed in and getting their purses taken or their change taken. It's Jane, the door's unlocked.
Yeah.
Community can get nervous when we've had shootings, the party on campus and mm-hmm. the one on Sunset. What can you tell parents and kids to make us feel safe about this community with the uptick in gun violence in general in this country?
Yeah. Well, we'll tell everyone we have a good community. We have a great community. We have a relatively safe community as well. We have gun violence in our community. It's going down, but it's still here. And it's far too many shots happening in our community, and we don't want that. But we are, in order for us to stay in front of it and stay on top of it, we need for our community to work together and say, we're not going to tolerate this. We're not going to make this something that's normal. If we see someone shooting, we're going to report it. We're going to, if I happen to be recording and I catch it on video, I'm going to share that information. But we need people to see something, say something. A lot of times when this violence happens, it doesn't necessarily happen isolated where someone just pull a gun out and start shooting. There's something that leads up to it, whether it be a argument, whether it be some type of fight or some type of disagreement. But a lot of times, especially our young people who are very, very versatile with their smartphones, they're already recording a lot of this stuff. If they could just take the moment and instead of hitting post all the way on that, send it to the police department as well. Make us aware of what's going on as well. That can be a big help to us and get us started and maybe identifying some of these individuals and hopefully catch them a lot sooner.
Because some of these shootings have been feuds, haven't they? Yes. Something has happened, they text each other and whatever, and then the next thing you know, everything's out of control.
That is true. Some of them have been different sides going back and forth, and it has continued to escalate between them. So, yes, we've seen quite a bit of that over a few years ago. It's starting to die down a little bit, but it still exists.
With any type of threat, schools, we're on heightened awareness right now. Mm-hmm. There was allegedly a stun gun brought to one of the middle schools, mm-hmm. and there was a threat to another middle school. How seriously does the Champaign Police Department take these threats, and what is the protocol if you are worried about somebody that is threatening or talking about making a threat to a school?
Both the Champaign Police Department and Champaign Unit 4 Schools take these threats extremely, extremely, they're very serious. And the reason why we take them so serious, you just never know when something may escalate, and the safety of our children is the most important thing. We want to make sure our students have a good learning atmosphere. We want to make sure they're safe. So if someone reports there's a threat, we're going to take it very seriously. We're going to follow up on it. We're going to see what is the likelihood of this threat being carried out. We're going to do a lot of things to get to the bottom of it. At the same token, we're going to work with the school district who are going to deal with and see what can we do to assist this student so that they're having a better experience if they do stay in the district. And the district takes a strong stance against that. And I can't speak for them, but I think they will be proud to share, hey, we're not going to tolerate behavior like that. We don't want people to threaten someone at school. We want everyone to feel safe there. If a student been bullied and feel that, hey, I'm threatened there, we don't ask that they pick something up and try to retaliate, let us know. We want to protect that student and go to work for that student as well.
You were a 20-year veteran with Urbana, and you haven't been on in a while. We talked to you right after you made the transition. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest difference in the culture and the job from Urbana now to Champaign?
Champaign and Urbana, is, I always tell people, they're a night and day difference as far as the city itself. Both of them are great places to work, great people. But like I said, they're different. Champaign really, really requires a lot more dotting of the I's, a lot more crossing of the T's as far as the professionalism in which we step up and how we package our work. Don't get me wrong, it's not Sarah Brand, it's not professional. It's just a different type of professionalism in there. It's more, would have been a smaller department, smaller community. It's more family-oriented, a lot closer, things of that magnitude, where Champaign, we're still family-oriented, but it's a bigger family. So it requires a little bit more finesse, is I guess probably the best way I would describe it to you. But both of them are great communities, great departments. I've enjoyed working in both places. Both departments have challenged me, have grown me. So I'm very happy to be able to say I've worked in both. So,
and your job is to, quote, serve and protect. So I know we've talked about gun violence, but can you remind people speeding's a crime? I mean, you go 60 miles an hour down Windsor Road and you're texting while you're driving. Stop that. Coming from you sounds better than coming from me.
Yes, but please stop that. Speeding and texting is a dangerous combination. Accidents happen, and a lot of times these could be tragic accidents. We've had deaths in our community where people who have been driving and texting. We would like to eliminate those. Those are preventable accidents. I tell people all the time, is if you can put your phone away while you're driving, relax. Enjoy. Take the time to smell the roses. Look at the sun. Enjoy the things around you. If you must, use your phone, pull over. I as the chief of police, I stop my car if I have to take a phone call. Pull over to the side of the road and have a conversation, this and that, and then I can get back out into traffic and move on. It's not worth hurting someone over.
And what should we call or how should we get in touch with you if we even see something that may be suspicious or we want you to follow through on?
dial 911. You can call us there, or you can call us non-emergency number 333-8911. But anytime you want a police officer to come out and see you, those are the two numbers that we dial in order to get the police there.
All right, Chief Anthony Cobb with the Champaign Police Department. Chief, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.
We got more coming up on DWS.